Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
Hello and welcome to Dining with Death, True Crime Tuesday. Today we are taking a look at Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell, the wannabe cult leaders who failed miserably at culting, at spousing, at parenting, at just life in general. This is a case that we may discuss more than once here, so let's call this part one. Let's get into it. As I always do, because I believe in transparency, I will state that I was born and raised in the Mormon Church. I was an active member for 37 years, and I left the church about 12 years ago. I think it's only fair that I reveal that whenever I am discussing a case that involves Mormonism. I try not to let my personal feelings color how I discuss these cases, and I honestly feel like my experience gives me some insight that I can bring to you. Okay, there are a lot of players in this case, so I'm going to try to break it down visually and let you know who the key people are. This is Lori Vallow. She married Nelson Yates in 1992, and they divorced a couple years later. She then married William LaGioia in 1995, and together they had one son, Colby Ryan. Colby is not at the center of these events. He is alive and hopefully healing from the terrible things that we are going to discuss today. The couple divorced a few years after they were married. Lori then married Joseph Ryan in 2001, and together they had their daughter, Ty Lee. They divorced in 2004, and then he died of a heart attack in 2018. Lori then married Charles Vallow, 2006. The couple adopted JJ, who was the grandson of Charles' sister, Kay Woodcock, and had been in her care previous to the adoption. Now, Charles and Lori didn't get a divorce. Charles was actually murdered by Lori's brother, Alex Cox, in July of 2019. We're going to get into all of these details. But Charles is a main figure in this case, so keep his name and his face in mind. Lori then married Chad Daybell in November of 2019, and Chad is the wannabe cult leader that she, I guess, technically is still married to today. This is Chad Daybell. He married Tammy Daybell on March 9th, 1990. Tammy was found dead in her bed in October of 2019. We'll go over the details. Her obituary reported that she had passed away peacefully in her sleep, but since then, she has been exhumed and an autopsy has been performed. Chad married Lori Vallow in November of 2019. Yes, just 2 weeks after his wife died. Chad's children are not involved in this case, thankfully, and I hope they're doing okay. Okay, we're going to jump back in time a little bit. In 2014, Lori and Charles Vallow, 8 years into their marriage, moved to Kauai, Hawaii, and Lori became obsessed with a series of apocalyptic style books that are based somewhat around Mormonism that are written by Chad Daybell. Her friends say that she read these books over and over and even gave them to others as gifts. Charles and Lori Vallow moved from Hawaii to Arizona around 2017. 2018, Lori meets Chad Daybell, who writes these books that she loves, when he is teaching a class at a Mormon church. The two reportedly become close immediately and even traveled together to a religious conference in St. George, Utah, which is the town that I'm filming this in right now. After this, the two reportedly spoke every day, and this continued for months. January of 2019, Lori believes her husband Charles has had an affair. He's out of town on a business trip. They're still in Arizona at this point. She takes all of his clothes, throws them out, and goes to the airport where his truck is and drives it away and hides it. Charles also claims that Lori takes $35,000 out of their bank account and hides that as well. There's fighting and back and forth. And a few days later, Charles Vallow calls the police, stating that he has not heard from his children in 2 days. He tells the police that his then estranged wife, Lori, has threatened his life because she tells him he is possessed by someone she calls Nick Schneider. Now, this is according to what Charles tells the police. He tells the police that Lori tells him, "I could murder you with my powers." She tells him, "I'm a translated being. I cannot be killed and I cannot die."
"I can't get in touch with my kids."
"How old are your kids?"
6 and a half and 16, okay.
How long have you been trying?
2 days. I don't know how else to say it. We're LDS. She thinks she's a resurrected being and a God and member of the 144,000. She's come. Jesus is coming next year. She took all the money out of her bank account today. My truck had gone from the airport. She went to the airport and got it. I just flew in from Houston, from Dallas. Houston and Dallas. So
where's your truck?
I don't know.
Charles and Lori separate. He gets an attorney. They attempt to reconcile. They separate again. And then on July 11th, 2019, Charles goes to the home to pick up the kids, and he has an altercation with Lori's brother, Alex Cox. And Alex ends up shooting and killing Charles. Alex claims he killed him in self-defense, and he isn't charged with murder.
"Come out this way, man. You know, no weapons?
No weapons on me.
All right, come on out this way.
Yep.
I'm going to have you have a seat right here on the curb."
"Yep."
"We know the name." "We didn't have any of that as of right now."
"This happened right here, fellas?"
"I believe so. The firearm's in the other room here. What's up?" "I can't, what you say?"
"We just did a sweep for nobody else."
"Yeah, I just did.
Fire over there?"
"Yep. I'm going to go see if we can get this. You want to stay in here? I'll see if I get this guy's info."
"Make sure nobody else is present."
"One, two, three, four shots. Something like that." "Hey, scene secure. We got the gentleman out.
You have some ID on you, sir?"
"Yeah."
"What happened today? How did it get to this?"
"I don't know. He was enraged."
"What's going on? What happened?"
"Well, he was talking with my sister earlier."
"No, what happened today, though? Like, just in the last 20 minutes?
He came at me with a bat.
Okay. Was he living here or visiting?"
"He came to pick up his son."
"Okay, is the son inside?"
"No. My sister took him to school."
"Okay, so it was just you at the house?"
"Yes."
"And he came, how long, what time did he come to pick up the son?"
"I don't know, 20 minutes ago, maybe."
"Does your husband live here or no?"
"No, he lives in Houston."
"Gotcha, okay. You guys
know that.
Separated." Gotcha, okay. Let me just get your... Do you have a driver's license with you I can just grab? Gotcha. How long have you guys lived here?"
"I'm sorry?"
"How long have you lived here?"
"Like 3 weeks."
"Oh, geez. Yeah, okay."
"That's why the neighbors don't know us."
"Gotcha."
"Like, hi, neighbor, sorry."
"Are you working at all?"
"No."
We could do an entire episode on the absolutely wacky things that Lori began believing. But she was telling people close to her that the kids and Charles were zombies and that they had been, quote, replaced and were not who they used to be. You know, 5 or 6 years ago, we would just laugh that off and say, you know, what a nut. In the last few years, we've learned that people can be led to believe some really crazy things. People can choose to believe some really crazy things. So Lori is now single again. She's talking to Chad constantly, and they just kind of begin this spiral into total delusion and pure evil. We're going to talk a little bit about these beliefs because I think it gives you kind of an understanding of where they were at mentally at the time. Their beliefs are incredibly ridiculous. I won't go into all of them, but they include a belief that the world is going to end in July of 2020, a belief that Lori is a powerful goddess, a belief that only 144,000 people are going to survive this coming apocalypse in July. Now, of course, there are two of those very special people, and they're associated with this group called Preparing a People that preaches the apocalypse is just around the corner and Jesus is coming soon. Now, this group, Preparing a People, has distanced itself from Lori and Chad with a statement on its website that says, quote, "We do not share the beliefs of Chad and Lori. If they are contrary to Christian principles of honesty, integrity, truth, or if they do not align with the doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." I have some news for this group. The Mormon Church does not in any way teach prepper apocalypse bullshit. The Mormon Church teaches that they feel their members should always have a year's worth of food storage on hand at all times in case of job loss, financial hardship. But those people that claim Mormonism teaches prepper type stuff, they're just lying. I have my own issues with Mormonism, which is why I'm no longer a member. But the truth is the truth, and that is the truth. Let's talk briefly about who Lori is as a person, or to be fair, what we know about her based on what family and friends have said and based on her own actions. Lori seems to be really motivated by people's perception of her. It seems like it was very important to her that people believed she had a near perfect life. Let's take this little snippet of video as an example. She went on Wheel of Fortune and, well...
Hi, how you doing, Lori?
Lori
Ryan from Austin, Texas.
That's right.
A hairstylist in Austin, hey?
That's right, the best.
How's the hair in Austin?
It's good.
Good.
Austin's a happening place.
Probably thanks to you.
Pretty much.
Talk about your family a little bit.
I have a wonderful husband, Joseph, at home, who is watching our two beautiful children, Colby, who's 7, and Tylee, who is 1.
Yeah, what do you guys like to do for fun?
We like to play all kinds of sports on our 3 acres.
Okay, it sounds like you have a nice life there.
We do.
Congratulations. Thank
nice
you. To have you with us.
Now, I'm not saying people go on game shows and say their life is a mess and they have a trail of ex-husbands behind them, but I found this interesting. She says she's the best hairdresser. She wants everyone to know she owns 3 acres, you know, just kind of showing out. Pat Sajak even takes kind of a swipe at her, saying, "Austin is happening because of you, I'm sure." And she doesn't catch the little jab. She actually agrees with him. And then there are the old lady pageants. I'm sorry, come for me if you want to, I don't care. But yes, I think the whole idea of grown adult beauty pageants is silly. That's my opinion. Anyway, her image was obviously very important to her, and it kind of seems like she was just a climber, kind of going from one man to another, taking what she could get from each one, and when that wasn't enough, she was on to the next. Now, like I say, Chad had written some books, and he would go around giving talks in Mormon churches, and I guess for someone like Lori, this made him desirable. Lori's friend, April Raymond, describes Lori as a super fan of Chad's apocalyptic book. It seems like Lori kind of set her sights on Chad and what he could do for her image within her community, and apparently she was willing to do anything to be with him. Let's talk a little bit about who Chad Daybell is. A lunatic? We can talk about Lori all day long and her nutty ideas, but let's not sleep on Chad here, because this dude is bonkers. First off, yes, Mormons do believe that we are in the last days. The name of the church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, means exactly that. They believe these are the latter days and that Jesus is going to return to the earth soon. Now, what soon means is never detailed. There is no set date. But members are taught to live their lives in a way that they will be worthy to be in Christ's presence, be it here on earth when he returns to earth, or after they die. That's what they believe. You can see how someone could take this particular view of the apocalypse, which in Mormonism is called the Second Coming, and turn it into something much darker. And that's exactly what Chad and his little group did. Chad believes that he is a chosen spirit. He is very, very special, you guys. Very special. Chad believes he is a prophet and that he has visions and that people should follow him. Now that is a big no-no in Mormonism. In Mormonism, you are taught that you can have a personal relationship with God, but whatever God tells you through prayer is for you and you only, and you are not to take any of that information and expect others to follow you. That's what they're taught. Mormons are taught that they should only take guidance from their prophet, whoever that is at the time. That man, and it's always a man, changes as older men die off and new ones are appointed in succession. Now, there are obvious reasons for this. No church can have more than one leader running around claiming, you know, they have more information than the person who's in charge. But this is what is taught, and it is taught very clearly. So I'm confused as to how people like Chad actually stay in the Mormon church. Technically, he was breaking one of the biggest rules, and so I'm a little confused as to why he was allowed to stay in good standing within the church while going directly against a really big, important piece of doctrine. The Mormon church excommunicates people for much less than this, but these little wannabe prophets will pop up from time to time in the Mormon church, and they're usually able to get a small following, even though the people that are following also know that they're breaking the rules. It's kind of an odd nuance in certain members of Mormonism, and it's actually not appreciated by Mormons who closely follow the doctrine. Chad believes he is a visionary. He claims he knows when earthquakes are going to happen. Sorry, give me a sec. And where the earthquakes are going to happen. He talks about his past lives, reincarnation, and how he fights demons. Now we're into big no-no territory in Mormonism. There is no reincarnation. There is no demon possession. None of that is taught in Mormonism. He talks about how he can spot evil spirits and what he calls zombies. And now we are completely off the rails. This stuff is not in any way part of Mormonism. But he's got his little group of followers, and Lori was one of them. This guy had followers. Dedicated ones. That's a very brief look into these two folks, and wow, it's enough, right? That's enough of a look, right? September of 2019. Lori's fourth husband is dead, murdered by her brother. Lori and her brother Alex and the two kids, Tylee and JJ, pick up and quickly move from Arizona to Rexburg, Idaho. Oh, why, you ask? Who lives in Idaho? Chad. Lori and Chad are in touch constantly. Who knows how often they were meeting or getting together, whatever they were doing. After the move, Lori and her brother Alex take Tylee and JJ to Yellowstone. On September 8th, 2019, photos are taken there of the kids with Alex and Lori. It is the last time anyone has proof that Tylee is alive. Tylee, this beautiful 17-year-old girl, is just gone. She is never heard from or seen again. JJ is seen once after this trip to Yellowstone at Lori's home by her friends on September 22nd. The morning of September 23rd, the friends report that JJ has vanished. After that, he is never seen again. The next important event occurs on October 9th, 2019. Tammy Daybell, Chad's wife, has a terrifying encounter. She posts on her Facebook, "A guy with a ski mask was suddenly standing by the back of my car with a paintball gun. He shot at me several times, although I don't think it was loaded. I yelled for Chad, and the masked man ran off around the back of my house." She wrote, "I have no idea what his motive was, and we never spoke, even after I asked him several times what he thought he was doing. I personally think this man was Alex. Now, we may find out different. Let me know in the comments if you have an idea as to who this person was." October 19th, 2019. After this bizarre event, Chad's wife is found dead in bed. Tammy ran marathons. She was only 49 years old. So that's an automatic autopsy, right? Especially considering someone threatened her 10 days ago, right? Apparently no, which is just baffling. No autopsy. She is buried, and Chad gets $430,000 in life insurance payout. Charles Vallow, now deceased, his sister, Kay Woodcock, the grandmother of JJ, starts investigating. She wants to know where her grandson is and where Lori has run off to with the kids. She knows it's Idaho, but she has no idea where. Now, Kay has the password to Lori and Charles' Amazon account that Lori is still using. I actually think this is really smart. She gets into the account and sees that Lori has ordered two wedding rings through Amazon. The account shows a Rexburg, Idaho shipping address, so now Kay knows where Lori and the kids are. Now, these two wedding rings are ordered 2 weeks before Tammy Daybell is found dead. Kay Woodcock gets in touch with police and expresses her concerns, but before much can be done, Lori and Chad fly off to Hawaii and get married. November 5th, 2019, these photos are taken. You can clearly see the rings purchased before Tammy's death in the photos. Lori and Chad live it up in Hawaii, no kids in sight. November 26th, they return to Rexburg, Idaho. Larry and Kay Woodcock have requested that police interview them as soon as possible, and the police arrive at their townhome. Chad acts like he doesn't even know Lori. Alex, Lori's brother, tells cops that JJ is fine and with his grandmother, Kay. The cops say, no, he's not. She's the one who sent us. Lori then tells cops that her kids are with her friend, Melanie Gibb, in Arizona. Gibb said she got a call from Lori telling her to lie to the police and tell them she had JJ. Melanie was not down for lying to the police, and she told them, I don't have JJ. Police don't have enough evidence yet to really do anything, so they have to leave, and after they do, Chad and Lori pack up within a few days and flee back to Hawaii. Alex, Lori's brother, takes his girlfriend to Las Vegas and marries her in a quickie ceremony, after which he takes her last name to legally change his own, and also, you know, perhaps to get spousal privilege. Spouses can't be forced to testify against each other. And Alex is now also dead. So Chad and Lori are back in Hawaii. The kids are nowhere to be found. Police and FBI continue their work on the investigation. December 11th, 2019. Tammy Daybell's body is exhumed. An autopsy is performed, and the results of that autopsy have not been released yet as I'm filming this. When they are, we will do an update on this case. The very next day after Tammy's autopsy and only 2 weeks after his wedding, on December 12th, 2019, Alex Cox collapsed in the upstairs bathroom of his wife Zalima Pastenas' home. Her 25-year-old son Joseph called 911. An autopsy report says Alex died of natural causes. Like I said, there's a lot going on with this case. December 20th, 2019. Rexburg police and FBI announce that Tylee and JJ are missing and add them to the list of missing and endangered children. Lori and Chad are still in Hawaii. Alex is dead. Lori doesn't even come home, even in the face of his death, and they were very close, kind of weirdly close. January 25th, 2020, Lori is legally ordered to physically produce Tylee and JJ within 5 days. Lori completely ignores the order. She does not respond, and the children are not produced. February 20th, 2020. Lori, in violation of the court's order to produce the children, is arrested in Hawaii and extradited to Idaho to face charges. She was charged with 2 felony counts of child desertion, along with 3 misdemeanors, and held on a $5 million bond. She pleaded not guilty, and the 2 felony charges were later dropped, but she has been in custody ever since. The investigation now goes into high gear. Where are these 2 children? News stories are airing almost daily across the country. East Idaho News reporter Nate Eaton was all over this case. He is the man who tracked Lori and Chad down in Hawaii before she was arrested and caught them outside demanding to know where the kids were. I will put some links to his work in the description of this video so you can watch some of his interviews and some of his work if you want to. They give a lot of additional information. During the investigation after Lori's arrest, police get a hold of her brother Alex's phone. They use it to trace Alex Cox's location over the last few months. After Tylee and JJ were last seen in the September 8, 2019 photo with Alex Cox taken at Yellowstone, investigators placed Alex Cox's phone at Lori Vallow's Rexburg, Idaho apartment in the early morning hours of the next day, September 9th. At 9:30 a.m., Alex Cox's phone placed him at Chad Daybell's property. Just after Alex Cox left the property, Chad Daybell sent a text message to his then-wife Tammy, who, remember, was still alive at the time, saying he had shot a raccoon and buried it in the family pet cemetery. 2 weeks after this event, on September 22nd, JJ was last seen in the evening by the overnight guests in Lori Vallow's home. And then, like I said, that next morning, he's nowhere to be found and he's never seen again. So to review, Tylee's last seen on September 8th at Yellowstone. JJ is last seen in Lori's home on September 22nd. On both of those dates, Alex Cox's phone placed him at Chad Daybell's property for quite some time. In both of those instances, Alex is outside of Chad's home in Idaho, feet from the house in the backyard. Police believe they now know where the children are. A search warrant was then issued based on information found in Alex Cox's phone. Early in the morning of June 9th, a team of FBI investigators and local authorities arrived at Chad Daybell's property in Salem, Idaho. They go to the location in Chad's yard where Alex Cox had been for some time on both those dates when the children were last seen. They removed a few inches of topsoil and uncovered three white rocks. Under the rocks was a sheet of wood paneling. They lifted the wood paneling and were immediately hit with the odor of death. There lay a small body, tightly wrapped in black plastic and covered in duct tape. They had found JJ Vallow. They continued to search the property and soon found a charred section of ground. On it was a green bucket with human flesh burnt to the inside of the bucket. Under the bucket lay a piece of human skull. They had found the remains of Tylee Ryan. Chad Daybell had been watching the search from his driveway. Sometime into the search, he moved into his car. As the remains were uncovered, he drove away. Police, of course, immediately followed him and arrested him. What a weasel. You're caught, dude. Like, stand there and take it like a man. You know, where do you think you're going? This detail, I don't know why, it just shows the absolute weak, cowardly nature of this man. This case makes me angry. It makes me feel sick. To do this to your own children, your flesh and blood, a child with special needs that has no choice but to absolutely trust you and rely on you, there is nothing in this world that matches that type of pure evil. So that brings us to where we are now. June 8th, 2021. Lori's defense got experts to say she is incompetent and mentally unfit to stand trial. But being a kook who has crazy beliefs and being legally insane are not the same thing. The legal definition of insanity is actually a really high bar, and Lori hasn't met it. They haven't said she's insane. They've said she is currently mentally unfit to stand trial. Now, that could and most likely will change. She has been indicted. She was indicted in May of 2021 for the murder of her children. She was indicted in June of 2021 for the murder of her fourth husband, Charles. But because of this ruling that she's unfit, she's not been to trial. Chad was indicted on the murders of the children and on the murder of his wife, Tammy, as well, and has pleaded not guilty to all of those charges. Good luck with that, Chad. You're going to need it. He is scheduled to go to trial in November 2021, and so we will have to wait and see what happens there. But, you know, it would be nice if Chad would finally grow a pair and save everyone who loved these people the trauma of a trial. Let's not hold our collective breath on this guy doing anything decent anytime soon. July of 2021, a glut of new information was released. Over 2,500 pages of information, mostly emails, was released. There is also an audio recording on Lori's phone entitled Lori's Testimony, in which she records just that, her testimony, something religious people give as proof of their faith, in which she says, quote, "Everything I do is because my Heavenly Father tells me to." Lady, I can't. There is also a last photo of JJ on Lori's phone, taken the last day he is seen alive, wearing the red pajamas he was found buried in. Again, we will update this case as it develops. This episode is as long as we like to make them for this format on our channel, but we will be going into more detail on not only this new information, but what happens to Chad at trial. We will also be watching Lori's trial when that happens. Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, True Crime Tuesday. Please like and subscribe if you would like to see more. Stay safe and be kind to each other. And I'll see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.